I want to read from Psalm 45, Psalm 85 verse 6. This is the prayer of the psalmist. Wilt thou not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? You know, I believe one mark of revival is that we learn to rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes I ask different brothers and sisters, brother, how are you? They say, oh brother, we are feeling down. Some people say we are discouraged. But I believe when the Lord revives us, we will rejoice in God. There will be a tremendous spirit of rejoicing. There will be tremendous joy and gladness in our lives. And I believe with all my heart that God wants all of us to be really glad and joyful and rejoicing. And I believe that's God's heart for His people. And I want to quickly take you through many verses this morning to show you how God wants us to live here on this earth. Deuteronomy chapter 1. So, be prepared to turn to many scriptures today. Deuteronomy. Maybe we'll read from chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 11. Maybe verse 10. And you shall keep the feast of weeks unto the Lord your God with the tribute of a freewill offering of your hand which thou shalt give unto the Lord your God according to the Lord your God has blessed you. And it says in verse 11, and thou shalt rejoice before the Lord your God, your son, your daughter, manservant, maidservant. That's a good expression. And verse 15. Verse 14 onwards. No, maybe again verse 13. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles. And verse 14. And thou shalt rejoice in your feast. And verse 15. 7 days shall you keep a solemn feast to the Lord, unto the Lord your God, in the place which the Lord shall choose. Because the Lord your God shall bless you in all your increase and in all the works of your hand. Therefore, thou shalt surely rejoice. And I believe that's how the Lord wants us to live, brothers and sisters, even in the Old Testament. And one more verse, I'll show you. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 9. And the Lord your God will make you plenteous in every work. And the last part, for the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as He rejoiced over the fathers. Can you imagine? In the Old Testament, we can see God's heart. And one more verse in Deuteronomy 28 verse 47. You know, here the Lord says, if you obey my word, you'll be blessed. And if you don't obey my word, you'll be cursed. And we're not talking about curse this morning, but just to understand the principle. And verse 47 says here, because you serve not the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. In other words, God was saying, because you're not serving me with joy, there's judgment on your life. And the positive aspect of that is, God wants us to serve Him with joy and with gladness of heart. And you know, if you move further down in the book of Ezra, there's a lovely verse I noticed that's blessed my heart. You know, there was a tremendous revival through Ezra. And here it says here, they kept Ezra 6 verse 22, and they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For the Lord made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Syria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. It's wonderful, brothers and sisters, when the Lord makes your heart joyful, so that it is not because you got a promotion, because you got a house, because you got married, because of some blessing, that the Lord Himself makes you so happy, like we sing in the song, He has made me glad. And I believe that should be our testimony, that God's made us glad. And oh, may the Lord make our hearts to rejoice always in Him alone. You know, David was a man of God, and David from a young age, he loved the Lord. And you young people, do some homework and you will find David was a man who was very, very happy in the Lord. He says, I will sing a new song to the Lord. And you go to Psalm and look at the way he expressed his joy in the Lord. For example, in Psalm 4, 7. Psalm 4, 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increase. David was a very, very happy man in the Lord. And I don't have time to turn to all the references, but there are plenty of references in the Bible, and it's good for us to, when you get time, to look at them and be blessed. For example, verse chapter 9, verse 14. Then I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. And Psalm 100, verse 2. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye nations, all ye people, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Brothers and sisters, that's how the Lord wants us to live. With gladness, with joy. And in Isaiah chapter 61, probably Isaiah also learned to rejoice in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. And here and there we find in the Old Testament, few saints understood the importance of Hannah, for example, in 1 Samuel. Oh, she learned to rejoice in God and be happy in the Lord despite all the problem she had. And then, you know, we read in Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18. That's a well-known verse. It's good for us to look at, mainly for the sake of some new people. It says, verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flocks shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. We can say, even if you have the worst of circumstances, and this prophet says, yet, that's the mark of a child of God, yet, you say, brother, you don't know what's happening to me, you don't know what I'm going through, I hope, can you say, yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. Old Testament saints, I will join the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and I believe that's how God wants us to live. And I hope this morning you want a revival in your heart. The mark of a revival is, as I told you, you will find your joy in God. You know, there's a lovely verse in Isaiah chapter 62. There are many, many reasons why we should rejoice in the Lord. I want to quickly show you some of the reasons. Isaiah chapter 62. Verse 5. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. Mary, you, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. I wish I can hear a loud hallelujah for that. I'm so excited to know that the Lord rejoices over me. And I believe the reason why many people, I know why there's a feeble amen, is you don't believe. You know, when you come before the Lord, you say, oh brother, I failed you. I slipped up there. The Lord must be angry with me. And many of us, we come to the Lord like that. And which is completely against the scriptures. The Bible says, come before Him with joy. Come before Him with gladness. Come before Him in confidence. So it's a disobedience to come before the Lord with condemnation and guilt and with lack of boldness. No, I believe the Lord wants us to rejoice. It's like a bride. You know, when a bride knows that the bridegroom loves her, she's very happy. And I believe that's how the Lord wants us to live. To know that He rejoices over me. And we have looked often in that verse in Zephaniah. Maybe we can turn to that again. I'm not tired of repeating certain verses for the sake of new people. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17. Maybe verse 16 also. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not. And to Zion, let not your hands be slack. The Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty. He will save, He will rejoice over you with joy. You know, brothers and sisters, we need to come and proclaim God's word. Like the Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. We got to stand in the pulpit and speak with confidence. The Lord rejoices over us with shouts of joy till everybody is convinced. He is silently planning in love. He will joy over us, you, with singing. I hope this morning you got a picture of God. He's not angry with all the sincere people, the wholehearted people. And I really believe some of us, we don't come to the Lord with the right attitude. And that's the reason why there's a lack of joy in our lives. You know, this morning I looked at this verse. I got a verse. Somebody sent an SMS, so I was wondering whether I should speak on this. Then I said, yeah, then I got an SMS, so that confirmed. Jeremiah 32, verse 41. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. And I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. And brothers and sisters, the Lord loves us so much, we should rejoice in His love. And that is the foundation for our life. Okay. And there are many other reasons why we should rejoice in God. You know, David, even though he walked with God, you know, once he slipped up, and then his fellowship with God was broken, and this was the prayer from his heart. Psalm 51 verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit, because David had experienced tremendous fellowship with God and joy in God. And because his sin, he knew that it was broken. And he said, Lord, restore to me the joy of salvation. And if you lost your joy this morning, I hope you will pray this prayer. Lord, why is it I'm gloomy and sad? Restore to me the joy of salvation. And you know, brothers and sisters, Zacchaeus met Jesus and his whole life was changed. And Jesus said, salvation has come to this house. I don't believe Zacchaeus was ever gloomy again. Like, you know, when Jesus called Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come down. Someone said, Zacchaeus didn't just climb down the tree. You know what he did? He jumped down and he said he received him joyfully, gladly. And I believe that's how we must receive the Lord. Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. And you know, that's how we can make out when a person is truly saved. There's joy. You know, there's an old song we used to sing when we were young, small. When Jesus comes into home, there's peace, there's joy, and there's no fighting. And we used to keep on adding many verses like that. You know, something happens when the Lord comes into our hearts. Like we used to sing, I got joy like a fountain. And I believe that's what happens. And we also read in Luke chapter 15:7. It says, Jesus said, there's joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Can you imagine heaven rejoices when one sinner turns from sin and turns to God? And I believe we need to have the spirit of heaven more and more into our hearts. Rejoice with all those who get saved, that they've turned from sin. And I believe if you continue to live in the spirit of repentance, there's always a spirit of heaven and joy of heaven. And one more reason why we should rejoice, like Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 20. You know, the disciples were so excited, the demons were subject to them. But Jesus said, don't rejoice in that. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather, I wish I can shout it loud, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I believe those who are saved, those who have received Christ as the Savior and Lord, they must be some of the happiest people on earth. And I believe we must show by our life, Jesus has come in and changed our lives. Like we sing the song, things are different now. Something happened that day. When Jesus comes, brothers and sisters, everything gets changed. Things I used to do, I do them no more. We sing, I love that song. And we become happier and happier. And it increases. Okay. And I want to show you some of verses in Psalm 16. It's a very familiar verse. Psalm 16. This is a prophetic psalm about Jesus. Again, it's written by David. He says here, verse 7, I'll bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me the night season. I've set the Lord always before me. And because of my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, my glory rejoices. Verse 10, you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer your Holy One to see corruption. And verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And I believe God wants to give us that fullness of joy. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus comes in, I told you, He brings the kingdom of God, this joy in our hearts, and true joy. And not only true joy, He wants to give us that fullness of joy. And oh, maybe say, Lord, I want Your presence always with me, Lord. Whether I'm at home, whether I go to office, whether I come to the church, not just in the meetings. In Your presence, there's fullness of joy. And we read the same thing in Acts chapter 2, verse 28. Acts chapter 2, Peter quotes it from here, verse 28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with Your presence. How wonderful, brothers and sisters, to have Jesus in our hearts and the presence of God in our hearts. And you know, David said in Psalm 43, verse 4, the psalm is rather, Psalm 43. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. That's the mark of a wholehearted man, godly man. For him God is his true joy. And in Romans 14:17 it says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And also we read in Acts chapter 15, verse 32. There's a lovely verse here. Acts chapter 15. I think my reference is wrong. It says here, the disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. Maybe I got that reference wrong, but there's another place it says here how the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Pardon? Huh? 13:52. Yes, sorry. Yeah. Acts chapter 13:52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And you know, many people ask, brother, I don't know whether I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you one thing, you won't be so gloomy. You won't be so sad. And I remember a sister who was with us, she was from England. When we started the fellowship, she was an old sister. I heard that before she got baptized in the Holy Spirit, she was very gloomy and sad. Some of you may know one sister, Monica Harris. But she said, after she got filled with the Holy Spirit, she became so full of joy. And if you're not so full of joy, ask yourself, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? That's a lovely verse. First of all, ask yourself whether you're a disciple. And then ask yourself, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Because the Lord wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit and fill us with joy. Like Peter said, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And let it not just be a verse, brothers and sisters, that we hang up on the wall. I want to experience the joy. And you know, it says in Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. When you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, when you're led by the Spirit, there'll be so much joy, and joy will become your nature, your character. You don't have to, like they say, smile. Jesus loves you. You don't have to put on a smile. We never teach in the church people to act. I don't put on a smile. But it comes from within. And you know, brothers and sisters, when we love the Lord, we also learn to love His Word. David was a man who loved God and loved God's Word. And not only loved God's Word, learned to rejoice in God's Word. See, for example, Psalm 119. Verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Oh, David loved God's word, and therefore he rejoiced in God's word. And verse 111, Psalm 119:111. Your testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. And verse 162, I rejoice at your word as one that finds great spoil. Young people, what is it that makes your heart rejoice? Is it internet? Is it music? Is it sports? Or a boy or a girl? Or can you say, I rejoice at your word? I like to hear some testimonies like that. I love God's Word. I want to dig into God's Word. I want to study God's Word. When I get spare time, I want to find my joy in God's Word. I love to read the concordance, I'll tell you. You brothers and sisters, develop the habit of digging into God's Word. And it won't be boring, I'll tell you. The more you dig into God's Word, I find I don't know God's Word enough. Say, Lord, I want to get to know your Word better. And Jeremiah 15, verse 16. See what Jeremiah said. Your words were found, and I did eat them, and your word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I hope in CFC God will find amongst us those who rejoice in God's word. Yeah. And I want to move on to another reason for rejoicing. You read in John chapter 3, verse 29. You know, here Jesus was speaking about John the Baptist. If you can read from verse 27 onwards. John 3, 27. A man can receive nothing, John said, except to give him from heaven. And verse 29, he that has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him, rejoice greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore is fulfilled. What is the reason for joy? small quiz for you, all you smart brothers. Do you know what's the reason for joy here? Verse 30. John the Baptist's attitude was, Jesus must increase, I must decrease. So there's a humble man, there's joy in him. He wants to be nobody, he wants to decrease, and he wants Jesus to increase. And, you know, many people think to be humble is a very difficult thing, horrible thing, boring thing, heavy thing. I want to say it's not true. The humbler we are, the joyful will be, and our joy will be fulfilled, as long as we want to be nobody or nothing. And one more reason for being joyful, again from Jesus' words, Matthew chapter 25. Now Jesus spoke about faithfulness here. Here, how people were given different talents and those were faithful. The Lord said, verse 21, well then, you good and faithful servant, you've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You know, when we speak about faithfulness, some of many people don't like it so much. Just like when we speak about humility, not many like it. When we speak about faithfulness, they think, oh, it's all too difficult, brother. Just listen to what Jesus said. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And I believe the more we are faithful in temptations, in trials, and with all that God's given us, you will become a happy person. Not only, it's not just human happiness, you will enter into the joy of the Master, of the Lord. And in case you're not convinced still, you know, we go to Apostle James, what he has to say about joy. James chapter 1. You know this verse well? James chapter 1, verse 2. My brothers, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And that's a little higher education. We not only rejoice in salvation, we not only rejoice in God's love, but now when the Lord takes us through trials, we say, Lord, thank you for every trial. That is to give me education. That is to make me mature. I hope we are learning to take our trials with joy and not saying, Lord, why this for me? I'm not saying, like Paul prayed, that the thorn should be removed. I'm not saying you should not pray like that. But Lord, you allow every trial for me to grow in you. And to find a brother who rejoices in the midst of trials. That's why all the young people get married. And then they face many trials. And I like to see some happy couples who can rejoice in the midst of all the trials. With their in-laws and each other and children and finance problem. Despite all that, say, Lord, I will still rejoice knowing that you allowed all this for my education. What a wonderful plan God has for us, brothers and sisters. And you know, the reason why the Lord wants us to be so happy in Him is this tremendous power in joy. See, for example, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. You know, Nehemiah brought tremendous revival to God's people. And he asked them to rejoice in the Lord, verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Brothers and sisters, you know, when you are gloomy, when you are depressed, when you are discouraged, you are very weak. Shall I say it again? So that anybody who is sleeping can wake up. When you are depressed and discouraged and gloomy, you are very weak. But when you have the joy of the Lord, you will be a strong person. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Can I hear an amen for that? Yeah. Oh, I noticed for many years in my life, a person who is happy in the Lord is strong in the Lord. And some people are always feeling sorry for them, and them finding fault with their partners and the boss and many things like that. They're not happy in the Lord. And, you know, we can look at the example of Jesus. How Jesus lived. I told you how David was a happy man in the Lord. And we can look at the example of Jesus in Proverbs chapter 8. I want to say Jesus was not a gloomy person. Proverbs chapter 8. Says here verse 30. Then I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. This was before Jesus came into the earth. Jesus and the Father had such good fellowship. Jesus was rejoicing before the Father. To me, what that shows is, that's how God wants us to live. Be happy with the Lord. And in Psalm 45, it speaks about Jesus here again. Verse 7, same thing is repeated in Hebrews also, chapter 1. Here says Psalm 40, verse 7, it's prophetic about Jesus. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Jesus hated sin totally. And therefore he was the happiest person on earth. And I believe the Lord wants brothers and sisters. He wants to anoint them with the oil of gladness. It's got nothing with your qualification. It's got nothing to do with your talents and abilities and gifts. If you learn to hate sin like Jesus and love righteousness like Jesus, God will anoint you with the oil of gladness. And I believe that's how God wants us to live on earth. And like we read in Psalm 100 verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before a joyful singing. You know, I was going through the concordance. The Bible speaks so much about joyful singing, joyful shouting. Some of us are hardly opening our mouth. We are all too dignified, very dignified, grave, serious, quiet in God's presence. I want to say, brothers and sisters, that's not according to God's word. God says, come before with joyful singing. That means you've got to open your mouth and shout. That's up to you. I'm not going to force you. But the Bible says, Bible speaks about joy. You go home and see how many times the Bible speaks in the Old Covenant about joyful shouting. Joyful singing, joyful shouting. And in Isaiah chapter 35, that's a well-known chapter again. We have spoken much about it. Verse 10. And the ransom of the Lord, that's you and me, brothers and sisters, shall return and come to Zion. Zion is the church. With songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And it says here, they shall obtain joy and gladness. I would ask you this morning, brothers and sisters, have you obtained it? I hope you'll get it before you leave this earth. It says, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. In other words, God wants all of his children to be so happy in him, so rejoicing, so glad. And not only that, in John chapter 15, you know, Jesus wants to give us his joy. John chapter 15, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Can you see this? The heart of Jesus? He wants a joy that is full, that's complete. And that's the reason, and again in chapter, Jesus was praying, chapter 17, verse 13. John 17, 30, and now come I to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. What a fantastic verse. To have the joy of Jesus increasing in us. I hope this morning you will say, Lord, I never want to be gloomy again, discouraged again, heavy again. I want joy like a fountain. I want the joy to increase. I want it to become full, Lord. I want it to overflow. So that all those who come across my path can see. I'm a happy man. I think people in my office know that I'm a very happy man. They all know that. Yeah. And, you know, Apostle Paul, he walked with the Lord. Apostle Paul, he had tremendous trials. But you know, he was not asking for any sympathy. If you ask Apostle Paul, do you have any word for me? He says, Philippians chapter 3 verse 1, finally my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And chapter 4, therefore my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice, in case you didn't get it first time. And Paul was a man who had been to the prison, many times was beaten, and yet he was exhorting others, writing from the prison, you rejoice always. So he was not talking some empty theory. And if you ask Peter, that's the verse I was quoting you earlier, chapter 1, verse 8. 1 Peter 1, 8. Whom having not seen, you love. We have not seen the Lord, yet we love Him. Though now you see Him not, yet believe. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What a fantastic verse. And I hope you'll never forget that verse. We used to sing that song, but we don't sing it so often. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. I love that song. We used to sing it for years. And you know, when you have such a joy, it doesn't matter whether it's Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. You know, and you learn to be happy in the Lord. And oh, may the Lord, brothers and sisters, lead us to such a life that your joy increases, your joy overflows. And you go home and ask the Lord, why that is, the joy is not bubbling in my heart like a fountain. Lord, revive me. And maybe you're not valuing your salvation today. And say, Lord, restore to me the joy of salvation. You know how all the new people who get saved, they're so excited. And today you take it for granted. And maybe we're not rejoicing in God's love. Maybe you're not rejoicing in God's word and God's promises. And brothers and sisters, the Lord wants to restore you this morning. I want to say this morning, the Lord wants to drive away all that sighing and mourning and gloom and depression and heaviness. And I want to say, that's not God's will for you. Don't just accept it as normal. What to do, brother, in this world? There's so many trials. Yeah, so Jesus said, in this world you should have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Jesus said that. We have to be of good cheer. I like that word. That shows Jesus was a very, very happy person. And oh, may the Lord raise amongst us those who have a connection with the Lord, those who rejoice in the Lord, and those who have a confidence before the Lord, and those who can rejoice in trials. How wonderful, brothers and sisters. Oh, may the Lord lead us to such a wonderful life in Christ Jesus. Shall we close our eyes and pray? Lord, we want to thank you that you rejoice over us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you're not scolding us, you're not blaming us. And thank you, Lord, there's no condemnation because we're in Christ Jesus, because we've been clothed with your righteousness. And thank you, Lord, that you love us and we have a relationship with you. And thank you, Lord, that we can have this tremendous joy in us. And I pray for brothers and sisters sitting here that you will lead them into this tremendous life where your joy can become their strength, Lord. We pray, let it not just be a message for them. Lead them into such an experience, Lord. We give you praise and thanks, Lord. Thank you for this word this morning. We glorify, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I would like to share a few verses in line with what we heard this morning. You know, when Jesus was born, the very first word that the angel brought to the shepherds in the field, can any young person tell me what was it? The very first word that the angel spoke, that's recorded in Luke 2, verse 10. Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Good news of great joy I bring to you. The birth of Jesus heralded with great joyfulness, with great joy. It brought tremendous joy to mankind. It's not for Christians. I hope you know that Jesus Christ didn't come for Christians. It says here, which shall be for all the people of this earth. This is the good news of great joy. And we are called to be joyful people. And we are called to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And you know what's the time to rejoice? When is the time to rejoice? And which days are the days on which we have to rejoice? Young people? Yeah? That's right. But the Bible says in Psalm 118, this is the day that the Lord has made and I will rejoice. See, it is an act of your will that we rejoice. Not that it just bubbles from us. It's an act of the will that we rejoice. It's something like love. Love is not just a feeling or an emotion. It is an act of the will that I choose to love a person even when he hates me or doesn't like me. It's an act of the will. Act of the will with which we make up our mind to rejoice in the Lord always, not in what happens to us. You know, certain people have happiness. Happiness depends upon happenstances. When you get a new car, or when you move into a new flat, or you got a huge hike in salary, or things like that, that is happenstance and that makes you happy. But joy is independent of that. That is of the Lord and that comes from within and that comes from the Lord. It is the Lord who gives joy and songs in the night, the Bible says. And the psalmist says, this is the day. Not tomorrow I'll be happy, not tomorrow I'll be joyful, but today. And the time is now. We used to sing in a Sunday school song, the time to be happy is now, and the place to be happy is here, and the way to be happy is to make others happy, and you will have a little heaven down here. So this is the way to be joyful and rejoicing in the Lord. Try, go out of your way and find somebody who is depressed and go and encourage him. And in watering him, you will be watered yourself. And we also heard from Psalm 16 that in thy presence is fullness of joy. And we are to rejoice before the Lord in his presence. See, there is a place when we go to the Lord with awe and reverence and worship and in silence, with an attitude of submission, yieldedness, but at the same time there is a time to rejoice before him in his presence. Like we read in Proverbs 8, I was always like a happy child before him when he was doing the creative work in the universe. I was rejoicing before the Father, it says. It may refer to Solomon, but it refers to Jesus too. So we have to rejoice. Have you seen children? Do you feel happy when your children are happy and rejoicing and, you know, jumping all over, making joyful noise? Or you want them always, when you come home, to hide under the bed or something like that? You know, if they do like that, then there is something wrong. As a father figure, we have something wrong if our children run away from us when we come back home. Instead, they should come running and, "Daddy has come." You know, small children are so happy with their parents, dad and mom. And it says, there is joy when a sinner repents. There is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. And from that day, when that person repents, from that day on, we are supposed to be rejoicing always. It may not be true today, but let us press on towards that. Because Jesus was born to bring us joy, good news of great joy, and also He has given us a spirit of joy. The spirit, it says, the kingdom of God is not just in eating and drinking. Some people have joy in eating and drinking and partying. But for us, it is different. It's the joy of the Lord. And it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And it says, I want you to turn with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 21. Here Jesus says to these two people who multiplied their talents, his master said, 25:21, his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with few things, and I will put you in charge of many things." And you see the last word he says, "Enter into the joy of your master." He is not saying enter into heaven or come into my kingdom. He says enter into the joy of your master. The Lord wants us to share with in his joy. Not just in his kingdom, walking on golden street and things like that. It's enter into the joy of your master. In thy presence, we read that, is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We enter into his presence with joy and singing. Again we read in 23, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." You see, this joy is free from circumstances. It is not circumstantial joy. It's irrespective of what happens to me. I choose to rejoice, and the Lord supplies the joy to me in my heart. And Jesus was the one who had continual joy. We read that verse in Hebrews 1:9, because he loved righteousness and hated iniquity, because of that, God the Father anointed him with oil of gladness above his companions, it says. That means above every human being, he was anointed more than everybody else, because he hated sin and loved righteousness. And he was the joyful, most joyful person on this earth. Because he was such a joyful person, he knew what he said on the eve of crucifixion. You read in John 13, 14, 15, 16 and 17, these five chapters, they were just on the eve of crucifixion that Jesus spoke these five chapters in the upper room. Tomorrow he is going to be crucified, and today he is telling, "I am telling you these things so that my joy may be in you, and that my joy may be, that your joy may be full." Which human being in the world have you ever heard saying such words on the eve of his execution? Have you ever heard of any person who said these words just before he was being executed? Jesus said, he knows next day morning he is going to be crucified, but he is telling these disciples who are sad that he is going away. They are sad because he is going to be handed over to the betrayer, to the judges by the betrayer. And he's telling, don't worry about me, don't weep for me, weep for yourself and for your children. I'm okay. I'm telling you these things so that you will have my joy and that your joy may be full. And he was full of joy even till death. I heard of a queen who, when she came to know that next day she was going to be executed, I heard that her hair turned grey overnight because of the intense stress in her. I heard of another man, Christian, who was to be executed that day. He was so full of joy and rejoicing, with joy unspeakable and full of glory, like we heard. And somebody asked him, what's the matter with you? And he said, as my head rolls down this hill, my spirit is going to ascend to Jesus, he said. Because of that, I'm rejoicing today. Next moment, I'll be there with Jesus, with all the saints. And those people said, if this is going to make him so happy, why should we hang him? And they let him go. You see, joy is something that has an inherent quality in it to bring about healing and health. It says in Proverbs 15, I'll close with these two verses. Proverbs 15, it says, verse 13, a joyful heart makes a cheerful face. You see, the joy is reflected in your face. But a cheerful, verse 15, it says, a cheerful heart has a continual feast. We all like to go for feasts, right? So to have continual feast is to have a cheerful heart. I think Newton has that. I always see him being happy and rejoicing. I never seen him sad or discouraged or depressed. You know, we can be like that. We can always have a continual feast by having a cheerful heart. There's one more verse in chapter 17 of the same book. Verse 22. A joyful heart is a good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. I think in the Living Bible it says, being gloomy all the time is something like slow death or slow poison, it says. Now, being gloomy all the time, see, the people who are discouraged, depressed, gloomy, all the time, feeling sorry for themselves, you know, they have a lot of health problem. But a person who is full of joy and happiness and is cheerful, joyful heart, it does good like medicine to him. Joy itself is like a medicine you don't have to take. Like they say, laughter is a good medicine. So you don't need to laugh unnecessarily, like these jokers go and laugh in Cubbon Park, and that's only temporary for a moment. And then when they come back home again, they will start fighting and shouting. That's not the joy that the Bible speaks of. It's the joy that lasts forever, that it may remain in you and that it may be full and that you will enjoy it. Jesus Christ came for that. May God help us.